Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
So you're at home, or in your living room, or at church. You could be taking the bus or ready to board your plane. No matter where you are, God is there and working all the time. It's hard to see in that moment, but if we pause and reflect back on our life, you're sure to see what God has been doing all along to guide you where you are right now. We call this our testimony, or our faith story. In the book of Jeremiah, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So, where you are right now, where you were earlier today or yesterday, it's all a part of your faith story.
Well, it's my turn to tell my story, and this is my story to share with you, and I am grateful to be able to share it with you because when I share my story, it reminds me of how great God is and how gracious God is and how much God has been at work in my life. And what I hope is that by sharing my story, you can be reminded that God loves you and that God is at work in your life and that God is gracious towards you and that God is using you also to make a difference in this world. Pastor Amanda shared her story last week, and she offered a reminder that while her story and my story are ones of pastors, so our story continues, and then I became a pastor, and we live that out, that's not true for everybody. But what is true for everybody is that God is at work in their lives, and God is writing a story, your story, with your life, and because of that, every one of us can make a difference in this world and the kind of difference that God wants for us. Now, as I share my story with you, I hope you'll hear a word and story about God's grace and how God's grace has been present in my life from the very early days and all the way through to this very day, actually, because that's how God's grace works. I've shared bits and pieces of my story with you and with Park Ridge Presbyterian over the years that I've been one of the pastors here, but I want to share my story with you this time from the perspective of knowing that we have a lot of new people with us, and we're so grateful for that. So as I share my story, I hope you'll extend to me a sense of grace as well, knowing that I'm still a work in progress, just like everybody else. Well, my story began, like everybody else's begins, with where and how I was born. I was born in Evanston Hospital right here in Chicagoland, and I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago in a wonderful family. I have a mom and a dad and a one brother, and we grew up in Wilmette and then Prospect Heights and Elmhurst. Those were the key places where we lived. But what you have to know about us is that we were a super duper church family. We were the church family that was there all the time. We did all the things. We were involved with all kinds of leadership. My parents were involved. I was involved. My brother got dragged along, you know, like every little brother does. And we were super involved with church. And because of that, faith in Jesus and God had been a present part of my life from the very, very beginning. I mean, we were such a church family, and I'm so grateful for this, that my parents sent us to summer camp, to Christian camp in the summer. We would spend a whole month, many summers growing up, away from our parents doing the overnight camp thing, and that really helped me grow in my faith. Well, because of all this, I was always around the faith, and I was always around church, and because of that, I had a robust experience of what it meant to lead a life of service. And along the way, many other things came into the journey, but one of those things was the sport of basketball. Early on, I developed a passion for this game, and if there were two things that defined my growing up years, it was basketball and faith. I guess school as well, but those kind of merged together. And so throughout the years, I pursued basketball passionately. I was always trying to make the next team. In fact, I actually made my decision about where I wanted to go to high school based on where I thought I could make the team more likely. And that landed me at Timothy Christian High School in Elmhurst, Illinois. Now, I mentioned that in specific because it was a further step in my journey of just how much faith mattered because my parents wanted to send me to a Christian high school. Well, when I got to high school, I had a great experience in many ways. I had some struggles in other ways. But the fact of the matter is, in my freshman year, I was deeply inspired by my freshman biology teacher, Mr. Vanderkamp. And coming out of that experience in freshman biology, I thought that I wanted to be a high school biology teacher and basketball coach. That was the life plan, and I started to pursue that with great abandon, as much as a high schooler could do that. And I kept on moving forward in science, and science kept on moving away from me. I kept moving forward in math, and math kept going away from me. And if you know anything about how math and science relate as you're pursuing the possibility of becoming a high school biology teacher, you know you've got to be strong in math. But what I didn't see happening in this entire time, and even in junior high a little bit, was this actual passion for history that was emerging, this actual passion for understanding the past. I was a little bit of a nerd growing up, just like I'm a little bit of a nerd today. And one of the little quirky things about the things that I was interested in when I was a little kid was in junior high especially, I was interested in the Civil War, the U.S. Civil War to be specific. And to be honest, that's not a normal passion for your average sixth grader, but I was super interested in it. And that stayed with me in this interest in history. Well, fast forward a little bit to my junior year of high school, and my youth pastor at the time invited me to go on a leadership training trip to West Virginia. It was a mission trip of sorts as well. And we went into these high adventure activities during the day, and then some days we did some missions work. And then at nights we did these leadership studies on what it meant to be a Christian leader. I remember so specifically studying the profiles of different biblical people and learning about leadership profiles for the first time, and that was a very important moment in my life. Well, we had a fantastic trip, and somewhere along the way during that trip, all of a sudden, I didn't want to be a high school teacher and basketball coach anymore. I wanted to be a youth pastor. Now, to understand this change, I mean, pretty much everything I was doing to that point, as best as one could, again, as a high school student, was dedicated to becoming a high school biology teacher and basketball coach. My entire college search was focused on finding good biology programs with secondary ed. I continued to play basketball, even though I rode the bench because I wanted to be a coach. All these things were coming together, and then all of a sudden, I didn't want that anymore. And I turned and I looked at a different direction in my life to become a youth pastor. And I started talking about it a little bit here and there, and I told my youth pastor about it and some other people in my life, and there was a great confirmation that maybe indeed God was calling me to be a youth pastor. And so I did what any high school student has to do when they have a change in plans. I totally redid my college search, and God bless my parents because they got on board with that, and we had to do all the college visits over again. And I ended up attending Augustana College in Rock Island, Illinois, and studying religion and speech communication because I thought that was the best path in college to help me become a youth pastor. And little did I know that it would indeed be that way. I made my way through college, I met my wife at that time, and I headed my way to seminary, and all these things added up. And you know what happened in 2008? I became a full-time youth minister for the first time. God made this journey possible because God changed my life. God made this journey possible because God changed the course of where I was going. God did this in an amazing way, and I am so grateful that I listened to God at that time. That I was able to change the focus of my career, the focus of my education, and the journey that I was on. And I'm really grateful because it allowed me to become one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian eventually as well. Now, part of the thing that happened along the way is I learned that not only was God going to change the course of my career, but also God was going to change my heart as well. because as much as things kind of moved forward progressively with my journey of career and my education, the fact of the matter is I had some rough parts in my life that I needed some help with. I had some arrogance that was very real, is still kind of real. I had some issues around being too confident around certain things. I had issues around understanding how I fit into places. And through each stage of my life and through each developmental turn I would take, God used everything I experienced to help shape me and help me grow in my maturity so that I could be the person that God wanted me to be and not simply the person that I wanted to be. And because God used people and because God used circumstances and because God didn't create those circumstances, but God certainly helped me use them, God helped me become the person I am today, the person that I'm trying to become. And because of all this, I'm able to say that God has changed my life, that God has truly and completely, fundamentally had grace become a real thing to me. I had experiences, just like many of you, where I watched my life unfold and I wasn't happy with how it was going. And what I realized is that when that was happening, I wasn't becoming the person God wanted me to be. I was becoming the person that I wanted to be. And there was a gap between who I wanted to be and who God wanted me to be. And every time I leaned into the person that God wanted me to be, I experienced God's grace more and more. There's particular moments in my life where I look back on it and go, I wish I was just thinking more clearly. So often, one of the problems that I had in my life and still have is that I act without thinking. And a lot of people struggle with this. Some people struggle with the opposite. They struggle with thinking so much that they never act. In my case, it's the opposite. And what I learned for me is that one of the ways that God has changed my life and one of the ways that God changed who I need to be is by helping me slow down long enough so that I can think, so long that I can think and then act according to what God wants for me. In my story, one of the ways that grace has become real to me is when God has showed me how to think clearly enough so I can lean on my actions and act as the person God wants me to be. Now, there are other ways that people experience God's grace, and I am so encouraged when I hear those stories, but this is my version of how God changed my life. Now, as you wrestle with what it means for faith to make a difference in your life, as I wrestle with that, as we look forward to what it means that God changes us and God changes the world, we find ourselves being inspired by different people. And in particular, we find ourselves hopefully being inspired by some of the stories in Scripture. Now, one of the people that I find to have a great resonance in my life is with the Apostle Paul. We talk a lot about the Apostle Paul naturally because he's the one who wrote many parts of the New Testament. In particular, I find a resonance with Paul because, well, he was a little arrogant at times. He was a little too self-confident. He was a little too self-righteous. And when I think about the people in the Scriptures and how God changed their life, I think a lot about Paul because God changed him to becoming the person God wanted to be. And in particular, as we know, Paul was a Pharisee who was literally this person who was, they thought, charged by God to be the enforcer of righteousness. What happened is when God got a hold of Paul's life, God chipped away all of those things so that Paul became more important, more who God wanted Paul to be and not who Paul wanted to be. And because of that, Paul was able to help people see what it meant to slow down long enough so that they could think through who God wanted them to be so they could become that very person. Now, in particular, Paul has a message to his friends and the people in the Church of Rome about what this looks like. Paul understands that the way that God's grace manifests for people may be different, but the reality of what Paul wrote to his friends in Rome shows us exactly what it means for some of us when God helps us to see who God wants us to be. Now, Paul talks to his friends about what this looks like, and he warns them that he wants them to understand themselves as people who are leading lives as gifts to God. to understand that that's what God wants from us, is to offer our lives to God as an offering so that we can become the people God wants us to be and not the people who we just want to be. And in particular, Paul reminds us that he is speaking to us as people who understand that they've been given grace. They understand that we have been blessed by God's forgiveness and God's reconciliation, so we can indeed become the people God wants us to be. And here's what Paul writes to his friends in Rome that is so important for us as we think about what it means to have a story that is shaped by God, so that we can show to others how much God loves them, because we can see how much God loves us. In particular, what Paul writes to them is this. He says, "So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what God wants from you and quickly responding to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, I'm speaking to you out of a deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it is important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God does for us, not by what we are and what we do for God." What Paul was writing to his friends then and speaks to us today about is the fact that God really does change the way that we think. God changes the way that we think so we can change the way that we live. And when I think about the ways that God has been at work in my life, that is one of the ways that I can see God most clearly at work in my life. God has shaped my way of thinking. God has shaped my way of seeing the world. God has shaped my way of relating to others in a way that helps me see what God has done for me and what God wants me to do for others because of that. What it means is that I can think, and we can think, and we can realize what it means to have God shaped how we do these things and how we see the world. What it means for us then is that we can see how God wants us to live so that we don't fall down to the level of immaturity around us. If there is one thing that I can say I have regrets around me and in my past, is that I would sink down to the lowest level of immaturity around me. Some of that was pretty common for the developmental ways and things of high school and college and other years. But the fact of the matter is, there were also times where when I leaned into who God wanted me to be, I was able to lean into helping people experience God's grace. Now, this is the story that I have to tell. This is the story that God has given me to share, and this is the story that reminds me of the grace God has given to me. When I'm able to share this story, it reminds me of the gratitude that I really have for how much God loves me and how much God has brought me forward to this very moment that I have, because it's all a gift from God. Now, I hope that by sharing this story with you and my story, that I've been able to share with you a little bit about how God has been at work in my life. Maybe there's been a moment or a part of my story that resonates with you, and you can see perhaps God has been at work in your life in a similar way. Maybe there's a part of another person's story that you're going to hear that'll help you understand how God's been at work in your life. Or maybe you're going to hear a totally different way of understanding the world around you because of the stories we share. That's what we want when we share our story, is for God to use our lives, our stories, to help others know that they are loved as well. So when we share our stories, we show to others how much we recognize God's grace in our lives. And when we share our stories, we can maybe help them see God's grace in their lives. I hope that by sharing my story with you, you can hear how God has been at work in my life, how God has given me grace. But I also hope that you're able to know and hear how God maybe has been at work in your life, and how God has given you grace, and how God has given you the gift of God's love, and how you may be called to share that with other people. What I also hope for all of us is that when we hear anyone's story about how God has been at work in their lives, that we don't think, wow, that's how I need God to be at work in my life. Rather, that we can be assured of God's hope and God's promise that God is at work in every one of our lives. Because God has given each one of us a story to tell of God's grace and God's love in our lives. This is my story. And I can't wait to hear what your story is.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can